read a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and then two verses in Colossians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, make sure that your motivation is to bring glory to God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Along the same lines there as that verse there in Corinthians. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You know, I think that every Christian, really doesn't make any difference if you're a new Christian or if you've served the Lord for years and years. I believe that the Lord, He puts in our heart, not only are we saved, but He also puts within our heart a desire to see something done for the glory of God. You want to do something. You want to make sure that your life counts for the Lord. And in order for that to happen, then there has to be a willingness to offer yourself up to the Lord. You have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm willing. I'm available to you, Lord. And I want to be willing to do whatever it is that you ask me to do. And you know, that's a pretty dangerous question. That's a dangerous commitment. If you say to the Lord, Lord, I'll just do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. If you really seriously make that kind of a commitment, you have no idea what the Lord might do and how that He might decide to use you. But I think in my heart, in my mind, is the fact that many times Christians come to the Lord, but they never really find their place. They never really find their calling. They never get a godly, holy ambition to do something for the Lord. And for most Christians, it's a real crisis. It's a real battle whenever it comes to making yourself available to the Lord, because we throw up all these excuses and all these things come to our mind. Lord, I could never do that, or I could never go there, or I could never do that kind of a work or ministry. It's just not in me. It's just not me to do that. But we know that if He calls you, He will equip you. He will empower you to do whatever that it might be. And many, many times, God will surprise you when He uses you the way that He does. Now, David became, you know, this powerful king of Israel and a strong, strong leader, but he didn't start off that way. He was the least likely in all of Jesse's family. He was the least likely to succeed in that family. So when they looked over the whole lot of those fine young men, David was not the natural choice, but he was the godly choice. He was God's choice because God did not see him for what he was. He saw his heart and he saw his willingness to be usable, available to the Lord. And so he called him and he put his hand upon him and he anointed him. And David eventually found himself on the throne, exactly doing what God called him to do. And so for a few minutes here tonight, I just want to try to just kind of stir your thinking a little bit about what God wants to do for you, and and an ambition that comes from God, a spiritual ambition. Now, little children, you know, it's just innate in children. They were born with a desire to do things. Little boys, when they're playing, they are, you know, they're building and they're, you know, they're driving and doing all kinds of things and making all kinds of sounds. Little girls, they do things a little bit differently. But God has put it in the hearts, even of small children, a desire to one day aspire to be something. And you can go down the list, and I've done this before in chapel services or in classes with smaller children, and ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And surprisingly, they already have some interest. They already have some things on their mind. I want to be a policeman, or I want to be a fireman, or I want to be... And something has gotten a hold of their mind, and they have this, and it may be, you know, a part of the fact, maybe revealing the fact that they're very immature, but at least it shows that God puts it in the hearts of even young children, a desire to become something and to do something with their life. That's a natural thing that happens to anyone that is born, and as you begin to grow and to develop. But you know, the same thing is true of your spiritual birth. The same thing is true of your spiritual birth, that God begins to talk to you and to deal with you. Rebecca was mentioning youth camp. I really do believe it was at a youth camp that I first even considered the possibility. A counselor talked to me. I'd gotten into poison ivy before I went to camp. Didn't realize how bad it was going to be. About the second day of the camp, I was just about head to toe. And I was so miserable that whole hot week of camp. And so a lot of the activities, I didn't feel good. I was struggling. And I remember a counselor coming and talking to me. And he talked to me about the work of God, about the ministry, and asking me questions. Have you ever thought maybe God might want to use you in that area? First time that I remember, maybe 13 years old, I remember the possibility that God might want to use me. And I think all of us, we need to open our hearts to that. It's not just those that are, you know, called as people in ministry as far as preachers of the gospel, but every one of us need an ambition to be something for God, to do something for God. And when the church exists as a place that we come to and we just kind of see how the service is going to go and what we're going to get out of it, and then we leave and go back to our daily responsibility without really even considering the fact that God, He has a purpose, a calling, a ministry, a work that He wants you to do, and He's dealing with you about that. Accept that. And be willing to be used of the Lord. And there's no greater happiness or joy than finding your place in God's kingdom. Amen. As a Sunday school teacher, as a bus worker, as whatever ministry, whatever place that it is, I believe God has a work for everyone to do. Everyone in the body of Christ to do. We're not all the same. We don't have all the same gifts or callings. But we all have a very important part to play. Amen. We really do. We're to work for God, and we're to remember that we are workers together with God. And that just tells me that God will call you, but He won't ever forsake you if you step out to do what He's asking you to do. You're just partnering with Him and the plan of the ages and the purpose of God when you step out to do something for the Lord. Amen. There's a work to be done. There is a work to be done. Everywhere you look, there are lost people. There are people in need. There are Christian people that are in need. All kinds of needs all around us. And we need to open our eyes and see that the need is what should motivate us to be used of the Lord. When everywhere you look, you see need, then you step forward with responsibility and willingness to do whatever it is that God is telling us to do. The scripture that we read here says that we are to do what we do for the glory of God. And that's
That's the basic. Everything that we do, we need to do it not to bring glory to men or to ourselves. We don't need to let pride get in the way. We need to do it for the glory of God. We're doing what we do that His name would be glorified, that His kingdom would be advanced. That's our desire and our motivation. And then in Colossians, it says, whatever it is you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it from your heart. And don't do it, you know, as a drudgery or as a burden. Don't do it thinking, oh, nobody else will do this, so I guess I'm going to have to do this ministry. I'm going to have to teach this class. Nobody else will say yes to Brother Darrell, so I guess I'll have to. He's been getting around and shaking up a few folks, hasn't he? Thank the Lord for that. And it may be time for you to say, yes, yes. So interesting that when I was 26 years old and went to Oklahoma to start the church out there, there was one of the brothers, there was a group of 17 that we met with and we started with. And the oldest brother in the group was, at the time, about 45 or maybe 46. And I remember when we started working and building the church and most of the men of the church were working, I can remember him saying to us, now, you younger brothers are going to have to take the, you're going to have, you know, this old man, he's wore out. And you younger brothers are going to have to carry the load. And I thought, I was 26 and he was 46. I believed him. I thought he was old and wore out. But now I realize that I'm 10 years older than he was then. If he was wore out, then I'm done for. And but he's, you know what? He's still going along, and now he's whatever he is. He's 76 now and still seems to be going along okay. Amen. You know, there's nowhere to wear out. We just have to keep moving forward by the grace of God and ask the Lord to give us strength and ability. And you know, in the body of Christ, there's every age group that's essential and important. Amen. Every age group, from the older to the middle-aged, to the younger adults, to the youth and the children. Every age group is essential. Amen. The outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that outpouring that was prophesied by Joel, that my Spirit is going to fall. It's going to fall upon the young. It's going to fall on the handmaiden. It's going to, the young men, we're going to dream dreams. The old men, we're going to see visions. That was every age group. Everyone was going to be affected by this. So if you find yourself at that age where you're thinking, I'm just too tired to do that. I can't do that no more. I'm too wore out to do that. I pray that the Lord will give us all, whatever our age, a little revival and a new holy ambition to do something for the Lord, even if we're 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever age that we are. Amen. That's a little bit of a weak amen, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, a church that grows is a church that's alive. It's alive. It's living. And so we're asking the Lord to send us revival. But whenever He does pour His Spirit out upon us, why will He do that? So that we'll feel better about serving the Lord? Is He going to pour His Spirit out upon us just so we can enjoy the services? I don't think so. I think that there already needs to be this attitude that, Lord, we know we can't do it. We don't have the ability or the power to do it. But when you empower us and you anoint us, then it doesn't make any difference what the task is. Amen. I so admire Caleb and Joshua. They were the senior saints. Their vision wasn't affected. Their strength wasn't affected. Their faith wasn't affected. And Caleb said, that's the mountain that I want. And he claimed it. And for all of those years, he looked forward to the day that he could climb that mountain and possess it and take it, even at 80 years old. Amen. Praise God. You know, the work of the Lord is called the work of the Lord because it is
It's a lot of work. There's a lot of work to be done. We're to do it for the glory of God, and we're to do it from our heart. Our heart has to be affected. We have to have a desire to do it. It's not to be, the scripture says, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. You don't do it to be seen of men. You don't do it because you've been, you know, pressured or compelled by men. You do it as unto the Lord and for the glory of God. It's not man-focused. It's God-focused. Amen. And we do it heartily unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Amen. Now, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Now, obviously, there are rewards that are the byproduct of just serving God and working for the Lord down through the years, His faithfulness to us. But the great reward is coming one of these days after Jesus comes, or after we pass from this life into the presence of the Lord. Then the reward for your faithfulness, your reward. So there's nothing wrong with working for the Lord with the idea that one day I'm going to see Him and I want Him to say, well done. Amen. I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That has to be, in anywhere there's a move of God, a revival, there has to be an attitude of servanthood, that you're willing and you want to be used of God. You're willing to be used of God. And whatever that it might be, if it's walking across the parking lot and picking up the papers that the neighbors have strolled all over it. Sometime I walk from the house to the church. My walk is a zigzag. I'll see a pop bottle over there and a paper over there. And I just kind of zigzag around out there trying to get it all picked up, you know. All of us have a part to play. Some of it seems like small and insignificant, but it's all essential. It's all important. It's all to be for the glory of God. Amen. You say, oh, but I never tried that before. I've never done that work before. That's outside of my comfort zone. I've never even tried it. You've all heard, you know, how they train elephants to stay in one place. When they're very, very, very young, they just tie them up with a chain or a very strong cable, and that baby elephant pulls against that cable until finally it just gives up on the idea that they're going to be able to move, so they don't try anymore. And for the rest of that elephant, if it lives in captivity, they can bring that elephant out and just tie a small little rope around its leg, and it feels the restraint there, and it won't even try. It could easily break it. It could easily be free. But because it was trained, you know, to stay in that one place and to live under that the confines of that cable or that rope, they live out the days of their life thinking that they could never be free, but they could be easily free. Now, I went through that familiar scenario for all of you because I really believe that some of you have never involved in certain acts or certain ministries, in certain part of the work of the body, the work of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never done it. You've never tried it. And it's because you've never done it and you've never tried it. And you just think, well, I've been saved for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. I've never done that before. I know I can't do it. You might be able to. You might be surprised. The call of God, the purpose of God, and how that God might want to use you in ways that you have never been used before. Amen. Step out. Try it. Do your best. Do all for the glory of God. And you know, in your efforts, your willingness to do what God calls you to do, as you're faithful in that calling and in that role, God many times prepares you for even more and greater things. He, the servant that's faithful over the small. Very well gives the opportunity to be to have greater responsibility and greater opportunities and to do greater things than you've ever done before. Reading a little bit about the Vikings. And the Vikings were feared all over Europe back hundreds of years ago. And they said that in the churches that they would close their services by praying, "God save us from the North Woodsmen." That's how they would close their services. They were so afraid of those fierce Vikings. And they had a lot of things that they were able to do. They were very powerful and fierce and strong. And one of the ways that they got to the place that they were able to do that, to be so mighty and strong, many armies that they would hire slaves. They would get slaves and they would row their ships and their boats into battle for them. But the Vikings, no, they wouldn't allow that to happen. They rowed their own boats. They worked and they did the work themselves. And they, in doing so, strengthened themselves and they became these mighty strong warriors. And it was in the process of that hard, menial task that they became trained, strong, powerful men in battle. Well, there's a lot to be said about that. Be faithful in the small. Be faithful in the least. And God will equip you and strengthen you for even greater things. Amen. Have you given much thought to what the Lord might want to do with you? How he might want to work in your life, even in your latter years? I know one of the great admiration for Brother Huff was there was never a retirement was hardly ever in his vocabulary. It didn't fit him. Because when he moved from one particular role or calling or ministry, there was always another open door. He was always moving through another open door. And he was always working at it. And God blessed him and used him because he wasn't willing to give up. But he remained faithful. I had a friend, I'm going to close with this. I had a friend, actually I came to London to visit Marcia before we were married. And right after I arrived here, I think it's the weekend we got engaged. That would have been 1975. As soon as I got here, this was before the days of cell phones, I got a call. It was from my mother, and my mother was telling me about our neighbor that had passed away. And it seemed like not a big deal to you, but from the time I was a little bitty boy, I grew up next door to these people. They were almost like my grandparents. I worked for them. They were the custodians at a public school just a couple of streets over. And from the time I was about 12 years old, I worked with him every day after school, cleaning the school. And so I was close to him. He would always talk as we swept the floors and we spent about an hour and a half every day after school cleaning that entire school. And my job was to move the desk over and roll, and he would sweep, and I'd move it back. Then he'd sweep that aisle, and I'd move it again. As soon as we'd get through, I'd empty the trash cans. He'd lock the doors. We'd move to the next room. We went through the entire school like that every day. And every day he would talk to me about retirement. I can't wait till I retire. I can't wait till I retire. Down through those years, and he was looking forward to that day when he got 65. That was going to be the big celebration day, and he was going to retire. Well, he did. That day came. I'd already gone off to Bible school. That day came, and he retired. He was retired for 2 months. He had a massive heart attack and died. His retirement didn't work out like he planned. He worked all those years, and all he could think about was, when I get that age, then I'm going to kick back. I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to have to work anymore. And I understand the motivation that's there. But I think as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, we need to remember this. Retirement and the kingdom of God don't exist. Amen. We always have a place. We always have a calling. We always have a ministry. No matter what role or what job we have, we need to keep our eyes fixed upon that day when we finally receive our reward. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. That's the most important thing. In the kingdom of God, we need to be willing to develop a desire, a holy ambition. Lord, use me. Lord, use me and make me willing to be used. Cause my heart to be changed. Help me to do what I do heartily as unto the Lord. Because soon there's going to be a reward if we'll serve faithfully. Amen. Lord, I thank you that you have given to every one of us here, Lord, a task, a calling, a gift, a ministry. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be willing, Lord, to allow you to work in our hearts, Lord, and to affect our desires so that we would put you and the kingdom of God first, and glorifying you, Lord, would be our great desire. Minister, Lord, I pray. Lord, I know that your hand is upon the young. It's on every age group. And no matter how young or how old, men and women in this church and in this service tonight, you've got a plan for them to use them. And I ask you, Lord, to put it in their heart to be willing to be used of the Lord, whatever that you would desire for us to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.